thousands of U.S. diplomatic personnel and their families live in an overseas environment with a host of security threats and challenges.
Welcome to GAO's Watchdog Report, your source for news and information from the U.S. Government Accountability Office. I'm Sarah Kaczmarek. With increasing threats to U.S. diplomats and facilities overseas, how prepared is the Department of State for what lies ahead? I sat down with Michael Kortz, a director in our International Affairs and Trade team, to talk about GAO's new report on diplomatic security. We outlined issues ranging from funding to training that warrant congressional oversight. I first wanted to know, is the department currently prepared to protect diplomatic personnel in case of a crisis overseas?
Well, state has taken a number of steps to enhance the security of U.S. personnel overseas. They've enhanced the security standards for embassies and other facilities, and they've developed training for personnel assigned to dangerous posts. However, we've consistently found that state has trouble with its internal management controls in the diplomatic security area, which creates vulnerabilities with real potential consequences. For example, overseas posts are required to conduct drills for things like bomb threats, internal defense, and emergency destruction of classified material, among other things. And we found that, on average, posts worldwide reported completing only a little over half of their required annual drills for fiscal years 2013 through 2016. And that's a problem in terms of preparedness for possible crises and evacuations.
In terms of training, do you find that staff are getting adequate security training in the first place?
They have, I think, a lot of adequate training available to them. The question is to whether or not they're actually taking it.
And so with that, you're saying that they are not doing the training that's assigned to them.
They're not doing the drills, for sure, and they're not sure whether they're actually doing the other training that they're required to do.
Let me ask you about staffing as well. How are staffing challenges affecting security?
The state's Bureau of Diplomatic Security has the primary responsibility for keeping our people and our facilities safe overseas. And its workforce has increased dramatically over the last two decades as the Bureau's responsibilities have expanded in reaction to various security incidents. However, gaps in the level of job experience and foreign language proficiency continue to be a challenge for the Bureau. For example, we found that 34% of diplomatic security positions were filled with officers below the position's designated grade levels. And that means that officers didn't have the experience levels that were intended for those positions. With respect to foreign language proficiency, state's moving in the right direction. In 2009, we found that only 47% of diplomatic security agents in positions that required foreign languages actually met their language requirements. But as of December 2016, 72% of those positions were filled with agents that met the requirements.
So, of course, all of these things take money. What's going on with security funding?
Well, the Bureau of Diplomatic Security's funding has increased considerably in response to multiple security incidents since the 1998 bombings of the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. For example, the Bureau's funding increased from about $172 million in 1998 to over $3.3 billion in 2016, so that's quite an increase. State has also allocated about $11 billion or so to the construction of new secure facilities and physical security upgrades to other existing facilities in fiscal years 2009 through 2016.
How does DoD support for U.S. diplomatic missions play a role in all of this?
DoD has long provided military support for the security and safety of U.S. diplomatic missions and personnel, both during normal operations and during emergencies. Following the attacks in Benghazi, that collaboration increased. For example, DoD provides many embassies with a Marine Security Guard detachment to assist with protecting people working at the embassy, as well as sensitive information that's stored there. And after the Benghazi attacks, state and DoD agreed to increase the size of the Marine Security Guard detachments. DoD also has some military units that are ready to provide security reinforcement in certain parts of the world and to assist with evacuations.
This report isn't making any new recommendations. Of course, it builds on previous GAO reports with recommendations that could significantly improve diplomatic security. I knew Michael could help me put this report in context and highlight key recommendations the Department of State still needs to address
There are currently about 24 GAO priority recommendations related to diplomatic security that state needs to address. For example, state needs to take several actions to improve its ability to ensure that U.S. personnel are in compliance with the counter-threat training requirement that I mentioned earlier. We also found that state needs to take several actions to improve its ability to identify and mitigate risks to overseas work facilities, as well as residences and schools and other soft targets.
Finally, what do you believe to be the key takeaway in terms of your report?
Thousands of U.S. diplomatic personnel and their families live in an overseas environment with a host of security threats and challenges. And while state has taken significant measures to enhance security at its embassies and consulates, we found repeatedly that state has issues with its internal management controls, particularly surrounding security-related programs. And while this seems like a bureaucratic nuance, in the realm of security, it can lead to real problems. And so, until state addresses the issues that we've highlighted in our reports, it really can't be assured that the most effective security measures are in place at a time when U.S. personnel and their families face ever-increasing threats to their safety and security.
Thanks for listening to the Watchdog Report. To hear more podcasts, subscribe to us on iTunes. For more from the Congressional Watchdog, the U.S. Government Accountability Office, visit us at gao.gov.